The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Today, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Him. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" Yah is calling everybody on this planet to be involved and serve Him and help Him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on Yah from Earth from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website on www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to talk about the good news regarding Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly Jesus Christ, according to Matiyahu, incorrectly Matthew, part one. The overview, the first book in the so-called New Testament in the Bible, Matiyahu or Matthew, provides an authoritative account of the life, death, and resurrection of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ. I've corrected the core translation errors and added commentary based on my personal experience and revelation. I will share this in the next few broadcasts. This is part one. I will read the first four chapters of Matiyahu and offer commentary. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So, folks, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work out. It's the first time I've tried reading something, well, reading from the Bible and commenting as we go. So let's just see how this goes. So we're looking at book one of the Good News According to Matiyahu, part one, my commentary. Given that Matiyahu was a financial man, effectively an accountant, it can be expected that he was detailed and precise. Father has said that where the four books of Good News, the Gospels, and Acts disagree, Matiyahu is the most reliable source. He was also directly involved, so this is a first-hand eyewitness account. Note that I prepared the book of Matiyahu first, such that the name changes and commentary are much more comprehensive here than they are in Mark, Luke, and Yohanan and John. Supporting articles are available in PDF, docx, and topics format for download off the website, in addition to the links to the website. So I'm going to read verses and then give you commentary. What I'm basing this on is the version of the Bible that I've created. It's on the website. If you go to the ETI Bible version page on the near the top of the website, you'll find it there. If you're interested, if you find this appealing, you can download either a Word, Microsoft Word DocX version, or a PDF version that you can print, or you can download and read on your PC, and it's also online on the website for you to read. So I'm going to start now, chapter 1. The book of the generation of Yahushua, the anointed one of Yah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Yitzhak, Isaac, and Yitzhak begat Jacob, Jacob. And Jacob begat Yehudah and his brethren, Yehudah, Judah. One of the key things here, folks, is that just about every English translation and every translation that's been derived from the English translations and other languages that have been influenced by the English translations and the wrong thinking that was prevalent at the time of the original translations have these errors. I'm going back to the, as best I can determine, the accurate Hebrew names and place of people and places. They're going to sound strange if you know the Bible vaguely, but there are reasons for doing that. So Yahudah is the name, it means praise Yah. So you see Yah in Yahudah. You see Yah in Yahushua. Yah is salvation, the name of the one normally called Jesus. Verse 3, and Yahudah begat Perez, Peretz and Zerah of Tamar. And Peretz begat Hetzron, and Hetzron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Simon. Now, the important thing about this genealogy is that what you find is this genealogy of Yeshua ties in to numerous people in the so-called Old Testament. So the Old Testament is a thread drawing through to the New Testament, drawing through to Yeshua. This genealogy is notable in that most of the people named are reported on in the Old Testament books up to the time of Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew word incorrectly translated Jesus. Yeshua means Yah's salvation, which speaks to the purpose which brought Yeshua to earth. Jesus is derived from the Greek Aesis, which means blessed of Zeus, where Zeus is a pagan, that is a demonic mighty one or God. Jesus should never be used. Anointed of Yah is the correct translation of one Greek variant of Christou that is translated as Christ, which is a meaningless Bible word that relates to the Hebrew Masach, meaning to smear or anoint, as in anoint with oil, but in this context relating to being smeared with or filled with the set-apart spirit of Yah. Christ relates to Yah, the Creator, not to Jesus. Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator, as in Yah, the eternally self-existing, often translated as Yahweh, or, although more accurately Yahuwah, but most accurately Yah, the eternally self-existing. Yah says that the biggest lesson from the four books about Yahushua is to learn that one can do greater works than Yeshua, as per Yehuchanan 14:12, and can learn how to do this. The ETI version seeks to make this more powerfully visible. Jacob, Jacob, means heels holder or supplanter, not a particularly complimentary name, incorrectly translated James in modern usage. And Jacob became Israel, Yisrael, from which the Israelite people are descended. Verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Yishai, and Yishai begat David the king, and David the king begat Shelomo, Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Shelomo begat Rehabim, and Rehabim begat Abiyah, and Abiyah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah, and Uzziah begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Hezekiahu. And so Uriah is the Hebrew word commonly translated Uriah, and means Yah is my light. So it's Uriyah. Abiyah means Yah is father, is the Hebrew for the word translated Abiyah in the King James Version. Jehoshaphat means Yah is judged, translated Josaphat in the King James Version. Each of these words, Uzziah, means my power is Yah, translated Ozias in the King James Version. Ezekiahu means Yah is my strength, translated. So you see time and time again, names of people, including Yah, the name of the Creator, which is completely lost in the vast, vast majority of English translations. And Ezekiahu begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Yoshiyahu, and Yoshiyahu begat Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abihud, and Abihud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Tzadok, and Tzadok begat Akim, and Akim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matan, and Matan begat Jacob. So Yoshiyahu means whom Yah heals, translated Josias in the King James, and completely loses the meaning of the name. Jeconiah means Yah will fortify, translated Jeconias in the King James. Shealtiel means I asked El, the Almighty, or my beloved Mighty One, for this child, translated as Sathiel in the King James. Eleazar means Yah, the Almighty, has helped, or Yah, my beloved Mighty One, has helped, a common Hebrew name translated Eleazar in the King James Version. Verse 16, and Jacob begat Yosef, the husband of Miriam, of whom was born Yeshua, not Jesus, who's called the Anointed One of Yah, not Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David till the carrying away into Babel are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babel to the Anointed of Yah are 14 generations, the Anointed of Yah as in Christ. Now the birth of Yahushua, the Anointed of Yah, was on this wise. When as his mother Miriam was espoused to Yosef, before they came together, she was found with child of the set-apart spirit. Yosef means he will add, translated Joseph in the King James Version. Miriam means beloved, a more accurate representation of Mary. Yahushua means Yah's salvation, a reasonably common Hebrew name, incorrectly translated Joshua in the Old Testament, as in Yahushua, who brought Israel into the promised land. Jesus is completely incorrect. The Anointed of Yah is the correct translation of Christ in this context. Babel is generally translated Babylon. Set apart is generally translated holy. The Hebrew word is kodesh or kadosh. It means separated, specifically in the context of matters relating to Yah. Set apart spirit, as it applies here, relates to that portion of the spirit of Yah that is set apart, separated unto true believers, imparted as a betrothal portion when we first believe, and then a marriage portion if we pray to be filled with the spirit of Yah. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But when he thought in these things, behold, a messenger of Yah, the eternally self-existing, appeared to him in a dream, saying, Yosef, thou son of David, fear not to take thee, Miriam, as thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the set-apart spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yahushua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Messenger is the correct rendering conventionally reported as angels. Messengers are servants available to take direction from and serve true believers. This thing of saying my angel, etc., it's just, folks, it's completely off the mark. The messenger of Yah, they're servants to believers, not something to put up on a pedestal. The messenger of Yah, the eternally self-existing, is a specific messenger sent with messages from Yah, the Almighty, and occurs in various locations in the Bible. Re Yahushua, meaning Yah, is salvation. It is vital to understand this context. Yahushua states the mission that this man was called for, albeit that this was a common Hebrew name at the time. Remember that Yah did not want to attract attention to this person. Jesus means blessed of Zeus, and is a pagan, that is a demonic name and should never be used. So here we see a picture forming of the spirit of Yah permeate, and the name of Yah permeating the Bible. And the normal translations have lost that completely. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of Yah, the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, by the spokesman of Yah, saying, Yah, the eternally self-existing, is the true name of the creator. I'll get to the quote in a minute. Is the true name of the creator, incorrectly translated as the Lord in capital letters in the Old Testament. That error is perpetuated in the New Testament with the complication that Lord is used for Yeshua and for Yah, and in the Greek, in both cases, it is Kyria. Strong's number 2962 in the Greek. This is a major factor in the confusion of belief that Yeshua is Yah. I've substituted the Lord with Yah, the eternally self-existing, and Adonai as appropriate throughout this document. Adonai is the correct translation of the Hebrew represented by Lord in the context of Yahshua or any other human being. See the detailed discussion in the introduction for a more detailed discussion of this. This is what I've shared over the last 3 weeks. Prophet in the King James Version is a meaningless word. The people referred to as prophet are actually spokesmen and spokeswomen of Yah. The convenience in this version, I've used spokesman with the understanding it is entirely possible for a woman to be a spokeswoman of Yah, but it just so happens that in the Bible accounts, most of the spokespersons were men. Verse 23, behold, so this is what the prophecy said. Verse 23, behold, and Bethulah, not a virgin, shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted as the Almighty with us, or our beloved Mighty One with us. Then Yosef, being raised from sleep, did as the messenger of Yah, the eternally self-existing, had bidden him, and took to him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yahushua. Bethulah is Hebrew for virgin. This is a woman at puberty who is sexually mature. This is around age 13 and was the age at which women typically married in Bible times. This relates to a very different social dispensation in which women of that age were ready to marry, and the society, particularly parents, were geared to support the couple. This does not work today in most societies, although it does explain why many young women today are sexually precocious at around that age. Separately, note that the taking and giving of virginity is a sacred act and is the act of marriage. Hence why Yosef did not know Miriam until after Yeshua was born, no, have intercourse with. See the article, The Essence of My Message, to Men and Women on the website regarding virginity and marriage. Note also that Miriam was free of sin, so there were no demons on her to transfer to Yeshua. Also, since Yeshua was miraculously created in Miriam's fallopian tubes, there was therefore no human bloodline and therefore no bloodline curses. Yeshua was born free of demons and free of bloodline curses. This was an essential component of the requirement for Yeshua to be able to live a life free of sin for the entire 33 and a half years that he was on earth. Emmanuel means the Almighty with us, or my beloved Mighty One with us, relating to the anointing of the set-apart spirit that was to come upon Yeshua when he was immersed by Yehuchanan the Immerser, incorrectly John the Baptist. Commonly translated as Mighty One with us, the Mighty One is correctly translated as Yah, or the Almighty. You are not, that is that they did not have sexual intercourse. So, strictly speaking, they were not married in the sight of Yah until after consummation. Chapter 2. Now, when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Yehuda in the days of Herodias the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Yehudai? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herodias the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the anointed one of Yah should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Yehudah, for thus it is written by the spokesman of Yah, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Yehudah, are not the least among the princes of Yehudah, for out of thee shall come a ruler that shall rule my people Israel. Bethlehem is the Hebrew for Bethlehem, meaning house of bread. Yehudah, meaning praise Yah, the name of the territory in Israel that was given to the tribe of Yehudah when the children of Israel occupied the land. This tribe named in turn after Yehudah, the son of Israel. Herodias, the Hebrew for Herod, king of Israel at the time. Yerushalayim, the Hebrew for Jerusalem, meaning city of peace. Yehudai, conventionally Jews, meaning from the kingdom of Yehudah, occupants of the land of Yehudah, descendants of Yehudah, occupants of the southern kingdom of Israel. Important to understand this, folks. Jew is actually a derivative of Yehudai. So if you curse the Jews, you're cursing Yah. Don't do it. Verse 7, then Herodias, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you find him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Miriam his mother, and fell down and bowed down to him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of Yah in a dream that they should not return to Herodias, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the messenger of Yah, the eternally self-existing, appeareth to Yosef in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Mitzrayim, and be thou there until I bring ye word. Herodias will seek the young child to destroy him. The original text is God, which is a pagan name and an abomination, which occurs 1,267 times in the New Testament. This is Greek theos in most instances, which can refer to Yah or not, Almighty One, as the case may be. Strictly, the translation is the Almighty, but since there's no reference to Yah in the Greek text, I've chosen to substitute as Yah and adjust where necessary. Refer detailed notes in the introduction in previous broadcasts. Mitzrayim is Egypt in Hebrew. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Mitzrayim, and was there until the death of Herodias, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Yah, the eternally self-existing, by the spokesman of Yah, saying, out of Mitzrayim have I called my son. Then Herodias, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Yirmiyahu, the spokesman of Yah, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and will not be comforted because they are not. Notice that Yahushua was 2 years old by the time the wise men arrived, which is why all the boys under 2 years were murdered. The wise men did not come to the newborn baby in the manger as portrayed by most Christian Christmas stories. Yirmiyahu is the Hebrew for Jeremy or Jeremiah in the King James Version. Folks, this is an important point. Those wise men traveled for 2 years to get there. They came from India or Tibet, possibly China, there was a significant population of believers in northern India and in Tibet. And there were also believers, a significant population of believers in China, which is not widely understood. Yeshua spent a significant amount of his time between the age of about 14, after he argued with or debated with the high priests and the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple, and the time that he started his ministry at the age of 30. So he traveled to Tibet, he traveled to northern India, and he traveled to Persia, now Iran, and taught and was taught. Verse 19, but when Herodias was dead, behold, a messenger of Yah, the eternally self-existing, appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Mitzrayim, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Yisrael, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Yisrael. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Yehuda in the room of his father Herodias, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of Yah in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galil. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the spokesman of Yah, he shall be called a Nazarene. Israel is the Hebrew for Israel, meaning the Almighty contended, relates to Jacob and the messenger of Yah contending before entering the promised land, as set out in Bereshith, incorrectly Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. Galil is the Hebrew for Galilee. Nazareth is the Hebrew for Nazareth, which means to watch, and Nazarene is the Hebrew for Nazarene. So, see how the satanic realm was trying to destroy this child, and how Father Yah had to intervene to protect him. Chapter 3. In those days came Yehochanan the Immerser, preaching in the wilderness of Yehuda, and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he that was spoken of by the spokesman of Yah, Yeshayahu, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare your way, prepare you the way of Yah, the eternally self-existing, and make his path straight. And the same Yehochanan had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And went out to him Jerusalem and all Yehuda and all the region round about Jordan, and they were immersed of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, a generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It's important to note that there's a gap of over 20 years between the return of Yehoshua and Yosef and Miriam from Mitzrayim and the commencement of Yehoshua's ministry at the age of approximately 30 years old. During this time, it is reported that he spent time in Persia, Tibet, and northern India learning spiritual principles that have been lost in Israel. Yehochanan inaccurately translated John means Yah has graced, which was his ministry. Yeshayahu, Hebrew meaning Yah is salvation, or salvation is from Yah, translated Esaias in the King James, and more generally Isaiah. Baptize is an inaccurate and meaningless word. The correct word is immerse. There is no question about what is done in many churches and what is appointed by Yah. Dabbing on the forehead with and making the sign of the cross with a few drops of water is not meaningful, folks. Jordan, Hebrew for Jordan River, descended the river running from Lebanon to the Dead Sea, a distance of approximately 200 miles. It is important to note that bathe, meaning immerse in a mikvah, the body of clean water, was prescribed for cleansing from contamination repeatedly in Vayikra, incorrectly Leviticus. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet to repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say to you that the Almighty is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed immerse you with water to repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall immerse you with the set-apart spirit and with fire, whose winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the storehouse, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Yehoshua from Galil to Jordan to Yehuchanan to be immersed of him. Baptize is an inaccurate and meaningless word. The correct word is immerse. Dabbing, as done in many churches, is completely inappropriate. This is what is appointed by Yah, which is immerse in a mikvah, a body of clean water. Fan in the original should be winnowing fork, which is more accurate. Floor in the original, threshing floor, is more accurate. Garner in the original, storehouse, is more accurate. So, verse 14, but Yehuchanan forbade him, saying, I have need to be immersed of thee, and thou comest to me. And Yeshua answering said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Yeshua, when he was immersed, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of Yah descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Suffer in the original, permit is more accurate. Note that I'm using the King James Version as my starting point. I would have preferred to use the Amplified, but it's copyright. And in my experience, when you start doing things to other people's copyright material to correct their errors, they don't like it. So I could have spent many, many, many days doing this rendering on copyright text, and sooner or later they would have banned me, whereas the King James is not banned. So I apologize for the oldie wordy language, but that's just the way it is. Immersion is a rite for cleansing from contamination and is a necessary prerequisite for someone to receive a full impartation anointing of the set-apart Spirit of Yah. If you're a committed believer and you've never been filled with the Spirit of Yah, immerse yourself in a clean body of water. And as you go under, pray, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Thereafter, give thanks for receiving the Spirit and sing songs relating to infilling with the Spirit. You may have a supernatural experience when you immerse, but this is not universal. Chapter 4. Then was Yeshua led up into the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted. Sorry, just to make a point there. The piece about the Spirit of Yah coming down on Yeshua when he was immersed, when he came up out of the water. Folks, this is so, so important. He was not Jesus Christ until that happened. He was just plain Jesus, just plain Yeshua. He was anointed by the Spirit of Yah when he came up out of the water. The Spirit of Yah descended on him. Until that happened, he was just plain Yeshua. Everything that Yeshua did in the 3.5 years of his ministry was empowered and energized and driven by the Spirit of Yah in him. Yah was living on earth through Yeshua by the Spirit of Yah in Yeshua. Yeshua was just a man, but he had emptied himself so that the Spirit of Yah could work through him. Chapter 4. Then was Yeshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. So he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. This is a well-established spiritual principle that it is necessary to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, water only, in order to enter into power ministry. That is ministry in which one can heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, walk in authority, etc. So this was necessary for Yeshua to enter fully into his ministry. It is important to note that any spirit-filled believer who is in right standing with Yah and set apart, incorrectly sanctified, who undertakes a 40-day water-only fast, will start to operate in the power gifts. Refer to Devarim, Deuteronomy